Good evening, everyone. We have a little bit of reading to do before we go into the message. I'd like to talk about four different places that we read about in scriptures, four different places. It's two sets of twos that are both like the set of two that is related and the other set of two that is also related and linked together. So firstly, we're going to read in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And now verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you," verse 41, "then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" So here we read about two different type of people. Some that are welcomed to a prepared place, and others that are cursed to also a prepared place. The first place that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world, it says. And the second place, it says that it was a place prepared for the devil and his angels. One thing I want to say right off the bat, I want to be very clear, is that hell or the lake of fire were not prepared for humans. It was not a place that was created for humans. It was prepared and created for the devil and his angels. So it was not in God's purpose that any humans would go there, but because of in God's sovereignty, God chose to give humans the free will. Many humans will end up there, unfortunately. And our prayer is that none of us here tonight, none of us that can hear my voice, will end up in that terrible place that was prepared for the angel, for the devil and his angels or his demons. Now in Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14. And it speaks of individuals that will end up in the lake of fire. And it says, "And the smoke of their torments ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, whoever receives the mark of his name." Verse 13. The contrast again. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" Two places very different from one another. A place where there's no rest, nor day, nor night, forever and ever. And there's a place where it says that they are blessed because they actually died in the Lord. And it says that they will rest from their labors. Now, in chapter 20, I know that these passages are very serious. They are very solemn. They are also very important to be understood. And the only reason why the scriptures actually teach about hell and about the lake of fire is to warn people, so that humans, us, men and women and children, will not go there. It's a warning. So here we read in verse 11 of chapter 20, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, or the book of life of the Lamb. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell," or Hades, "delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades," or hell, "were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now the contrast, chapter 21. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.'" And notice verse 4, very important verse. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' He said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.'" And the last warning: "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I don't know about you, but I would like to be in the second place. That's where I want to be. And by God's grace, I will be there, because I am no longer found in my sins. Even though I still sin, I am found what the Bible calls to be in Christ. Sheltered by the blood. Secure. I am in Christ. I will not die in my sins, because my sins have been dealt with at Calvary. If I die, if I was to die tonight, I would die in the Lord, die in Christ, And the Bible calls us, every one of us who will die in Christ, blessed. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Because we would wake up in heaven, in that beautiful place that we've talked about and that we've read about in chapter 21, the first part. Now, let's turn to John chapter 8, just to make the point about the difference between dying in Christ and dying in your sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. The Lord Jesus here, the greatest teacher and preacher of all times, he tells us, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. And let's pay attention here of what is it? What is it to die in your sins? Why are people dying in their sins? The Lord Jesus gives us the answer right here. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You know, the gospel is very simple. It's all about a person. It's all about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But He is the Savior of the world. The Bible calls Him that twice over. In John chapter 4 and in 1 John, the Lord Jesus is called the Savior of the world. Why is that? Because He was God, eternal Son. And God's eternal Son came down here for a purpose, for a mission, for a rescue mission that God gave Him to do, to settle and to fix the great question of our sin once and for all. So when the Lord Jesus came and He really was born to die, that was the whole purpose of Him coming. He was coming to die. He could say that to His disciples many times. There's a baptism by which I must be baptized, and how I long for it to happen. I'm paraphrasing because I'm French. I'm sure you've noticed that. The Lord Jesus' purpose for coming was to go to the cross. And there, not just suffer at the hands of men, because He did. He suffered at the hands of men in a way that is almost unbelievable. It says that His face was so marred more than any man, and His forehead more than the sons of men. His face was not recognizable. He was beat so much. He was beaten so much. But that was to show man's heart. That was to show what was in the heart of man: hatred against God. And everything that man did to Him could not take away one sin. It can only show what men really were like and what men thought of God. What happened in the three dark hours from the sixth to the ninth hour? God was dealing with His Son. Dealing with His sons. With His Son for what He had sent His Son for. He has sent His Son to fix the question of our sin that was against God, and the debt was unsurmountable. It was infinite. That's why it took an infinite person to fix the question of our sin. The Lord Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. And when God poured upon Him the wrath that was against your sin and against my sin and against the sin of the whole world, when God poured upon Him our sins as if there was a big funnel on top of His head with all the sins of the world coming down. It says it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. That is something that for many years I couldn't understand how it could be possible that God was pleased to bruise his son. Why was God pleased? Because God knew it was the only way to fill heaven with humans. There was no other way for humans to make it to heaven without the Lord Jesus being bruised for our sin, being crushed under the load of our sin. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, ye shall see a seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The Lord Jesus filled heaven. God saw, before he actually bruised his son, he could see the seed that would follow and the harvest that would follow the seed. A harvest of souls. Heaven will be filled with humans, all because of the fact that the Lord Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The gospel is about a person. It's about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he fixed the question of our sin at Calvary. And when God raised him from the dead, and by the way, the Lord Jesus raised himself from the dead, and it says that the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead, and God the Father raised him from the dead. The whole Trinity was involved in raising the Lord Jesus from the dead. The Lord Jesus could say, "No man taketh my life from me. I give it, and I will take it again. This is the commandment I have from my Father." The Lord Jesus rose from the dead as proof that the work was finished. The work was completely, completely done. That's why humans, men and women and children, can come to him and find rest for their souls and find forgiveness for their sins. And find a new beginning, a thing that is called the new birth, happens when we trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And that is what the Lord was speaking about in John chapter 8, when he said, "You will die in your sins, because if you don't believe that who I am, you will die in your sins." So tonight the question is, are you in your sins? Are you living in your sins? Or are you in Christ? I know that most of us here tonight are. And thank God we are. And all these passages that I read about heaven is a beautiful thing to be reminded of. That yes, there is heartaches. And there is pain, and there is tears, and there is death, and there is so much on this earth to bring us down. But my dear friend, my dear brother and sister tonight, we are going to a place where there will be none of that. It starts by saying that he will wipe all tears from our eyes. There will be no pain, there will be no death, there will be absolutely no lies. We see that farther in the chapter. Twice over, it speaks about liars that will not be there. There will be no lie. That's something, just to think about that. No more lies. No more exaggerations. No more pretend to be something we're not. There will be no lies there. There will be no need of the sun and the moon and the stars, because God will be there with us. And he is the source of light. The Lord Jesus Christ will be our lamp. I know that's what it says in French. I don't know what it says in English. I don't remember. But he's going to be our lamp, like our light in heaven. So let's go to the last portion that I want to read in Luke chapter 16. I was really going to spend more time there. Again, is the contrast between the two places, or the four places, because I'll try to explain that, what I mean by four places. Luke 16, very, very solemn passage. It's not a parable, by the way. You never see a parable with somebody named. And the Scriptures doesn't call it a parable. So this is not a parable. It's actually something that the Lord Jesus in His grace opened the curtain for us to see the beyond, to see what happened to two individuals. One is nameless because he's in the place, the forgotten place. The other one has a name. He will be remembered forever, even though on earth he was forgotten. And on earth people didn't care about him. And on earth he had not even a crumb to eat. But in heaven he has a name. And in heaven it says that he is comforted. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died. Notice that there's no mention of his burial, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. He probably had a big funeral. Verse 23, and being in torments in Hades or hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come in this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, the scriptures of that day. Let them hear them. And he said, no. People are still saying no in hell. Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Today we have someone who rose from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we have historical proof that he rose from the dead. We have more than 500 witnesses that saw him after he rose from the dead. Does people believe more because of that? Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that couldn't even care less. But the Lord Jesus was not a liar. He was not crazy. The Lord Jesus was a truth teller. He was the truth. And he spoke to us this story. You know, there's a lot of things about hell, a lot of different myths. Some people say that hell doesn't exist. The devil is really happy when people don't believe that hell exists. Some people say hell is on earth. I've heard that many times. There's so many troubles on earth. Everything is going sideways. Hell is on earth. Well, earth is it 75 or 80% water? We read about hell. There's not even a single drop of water in hell. So heaven is not, hell is not on earth. I've heard, maybe you've heard too, oh, I want to go to hell because that's where all my buddies are going to be. And we're going to have a great party there. There's going to be a lot of people in hell or in the lake of fire. But everyone are going to be in an individual cell. You're not going to see anybody. You're going to be confined. You might hear a lot of people, but you won't see anybody because it's outer darkness. It's a place where there's fire. A place where there's worms that dieth not, and where fire is not quenched. It's a place of no rest that we have already seen tonight. Nor day, nor night. It's a place of torments, a place of suffering, a place where the judgment of God against sin will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. How in the world would anyone want to end up in that place? How in the world would anyone being brought up in a Christian home with the gospel at their fingertips would want to end up in such a place? The Lord Jesus said, unless you believe who I am, ye will die in your sin. Where I go, ye cannot come. It's a very serious thing to die in your sins. It will be the greatest tragedy that could ever happen to you, to die without Christ in your sins. It's a place where people will be bearing the judgment for their sins. We've read that in Revelation 20. Everybody will be judged according to their works. The different level of punishment in the lake of fire. It will depend on how much you've done, how much sin you've committed. And that's a lot. In a lifetime, people will suffer for their own sin. Not for the sin of their neighbors. Not for the sin of their fathers or mothers or brothers and sisters. Not for the sin of anybody else. They're going to be suffering for their own sin. It's going to be a place for those who ignored the Word of God in their lifetime. They ignored the warnings. And I know it is said, I've never really checked myself, but it is said that the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven.
Because he doesn't want humans there. Why do you think he went to Calvary? Why do you think he went to the cross? Because he doesn't want you to be there. He doesn't want me to be there. The Lord Jesus, he has a prepared place for prepared people, which is called heaven. And he has a prepared place for unprepared people. The prepared place for the devil and his angels. It was never in his purpose for you or any human to be there. And what he did at Calvary, the price was paid in full. Like there was enough there. There was enough with the death of the Lord Jesus and his great redemption payment. There was enough there to save every human being. And if there would have been 10,000 worlds, what he has done was an infinite work. It would have been enough to save everyone. And God was satisfied. Are you satisfied with the finished work of Christ tonight? I'm satisfied. I know I don't live the way I should. I'm far from what I should be because I'm still in the flesh and I'm still a sinner saved by grace. The Bible calls us a saint. But sometimes I don't feel like one too much. But I thank God it has nothing to do with my feelings. It has to do about the strength and the power of the one who holds me. I'm not running after him and try to hold on to him. No, he is holding on to me. Thank God, because I would have lost my salvation a long time ago. The Lord Jesus has secured us a place in heaven. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Is he strong? He is almighty. Nobody. The devil himself with all his demons together could not snatch us out of the hand of the Lord Jesus. The Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We are secure, brother and sister, in Christ. Totally secure. Eternal security is one of the precious truths of the Scriptures. And it's too bad that some people don't believe that. They believe that they can be saved one day and lost the next. Oof, what a terrible blow to the work of Christ. What a terrible blow to the finished work of the Almighty to say that someone, yourself, could pluck yourself out of the hand of the Father and the hand of the Son. I'm glad that it is not possible. So how? Okay, like we're talking about four places. There's Hades, hell. There's the lake of fire. There's the bosom of Abraham, and there's heaven. Hell was the place, like in French, it's called le séjour des morts, meaning it's the place of the dead. It's the intermediate place. It's the prison of God. The place where people went until they're called to the judgment seat, the great white throne of judgment. And then, from there, to be cast into the lake of fire, which is called the second death. They died the first time, they end up in hell. They're resurrected to go to the great white throne of judgment. That's called the resurrection of the damned, or the resurrection of damnation. And they go and are judged for their sin and then thrown and cast into the lake of fire. So the lake of fire is the end of the road. The end of the road. It's a place with an entry and no exit. Nobody will ever, ever get out of that place. A place with an entry and no exit. So we've read in chapter 20 how hell and death was cast into the lake of fire. That's the last day of judgment. There'll be no more judgment after that. And I don't know if you noticed the verse in chapter 21, verse 8, where it says the fearful and unbelieving. The first two, fearful and unbelieving, they go together. The gutless, people that are scared of what people think. They never got saved because they were scared of what mom or dad or granddad or grandmom or my friends, what would they say if I get saved? They're counting the cost, and the cost is too great. And meanwhile, the cost is nothing compared to where they're going. The fearful and unbelieving. Unbelief is the great sin. The sin that there's no forgiveness for. Sin of damnation. Refuse to believe that the Lord Jesus is the Savior. The Lord Jesus has done enough for me. Refusal to believe. It says that those people, along with the immoral and the magicians and the whoremongers and all liars, it says that they will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So tonight I hope that you're not here, and the reason why you're not saved yet, the reason why you haven't trusted Christ yet, is because you're scared of what your friends are going to say. Or you're scared of what someone will say. You might get some ridicule. I hope that you're not going to lose your soul for that. Because of that, you need Christ. The desire of all human beings should be to want to end in heaven. That should be our desire, all of us. And how can this happen? Well, there's only one way. I know I've talked about it already. I hope nobody is going to get out of here confused about what they should do. Or what they're needed, what they need to be saved. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Just that alone should be enough. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish, end up in hell and the lake of fire, but have everlasting life. What a contrast between the two. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's the verse that God used to save me. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Another verse that God used to save me back in 1981. There's so many of them. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. We actually wrote to David Berkowitz lately to wish him happy birthday. I don't know if any one of you remember him. He was a murderer, a killer. He was called the Son of Sam. Now he calls himself the Son of Hope. He killed, I think it's 8 or 9 people. And he's in jail for 300 and some years. And he's been in jail for maybe 50 years, 45 or 50 years. This guy got saved in jail. And he said, if Paul was the first of sinners, I'm not too far behind. I'm not too far behind. But he says, God's grace reached me. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And he sent us a little pamphlet of his testimony. And man, is this something powerful to see how God can change a life. How Christ transforms a terrible sinner, someone who was hateful, someone who hated everybody. He hated his parents. He hated everybody. And he was killing for joy and for fun. And now he is full of love for his neighbor. He says he doesn't deserve to be out of jail. He could never repair what he's done. And he's sorry for what he's done. But there's thousands of prisoners that got saved through his ministry over the years. And to him, that's where God wants him. And he wants to die there. God can save to the uttermost all them that cometh to him through Christ. That is the promise. And if you put your faith and trust in Christ, if you are satisfied with what he has done as being enough to save you, and it is enough, more than enough, you will be transformed from the power of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son. You will be what the Bible says, born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all this is from God. It's a work of God in the individual. It's not something we can muster up. It's not something that we can do. It's God that does it. And the moment you do it, you are found in Christ. Read Ephesians. Ephesians is full of all that is ours today because we are in Christ. At one point in our lives, we were without Christ, without God, without hope in this world. But now we are in Christ. And the Bible says, for those who are sometimes afar off, we have been brought nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus, he wants to save you tonight if you're not saved. And if you're saved, just rejoice in the fact that we are on our way to that place of bliss, that place that is so beautiful that the Bible gives us a little bit. And it's so great. Can't wait to be there. And it's going to be so great, not just because of the fact that all the things that will not be there, like no tears, no pain, no death, no lie, no bunch of stuff. But it's going to be great for what will be there. The Lord Jesus Christ will be there. God will be there. And we will finally see him as he is. See him face to face. You know, we are of those, like it says in Peter, that we believe in him. And still we believe in him without have seeing him. Without, I'm paraphrasing very poorly, I know. But we are still believing in him even if we don't see him yet. But thank God we will see him soon. The Lord is coming. And he will take us to be with him forever. Let us, that song tonight we sang about, give me a vision. And I was thinking of the verse, I know it's different in French, but in English it's powerful. It says, where there is no vision, people perish. Where there is no vision, people perish. Brother and sister, we have to have our eyes open. With what we've heard lately about the mission field and how the field are ripe for harvest, we have to lift up our eyes and we have to realize that where there's no vision, and I'm thank God for missionaries that have a vision, but where there's no vision, people actually perish. There is a mission field here. There is a mission field with your neighbors. There is a mission field with your co-workers, with the people that you rub shoulders with every day. There's a mission field. Remember, these people are going to this terrible place that we talked about tonight. A terrible place. The lake of fire. We wouldn't want our worst enemy to end up in that place, let alone our friends and our family. So let us be bold to speak the truth in love. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for most of us here tonight, we are found in him, secure for eternity. Because we love him, the Father loves us. But Lord, we think of maybe one, maybe two, maybe more are here tonight without the Savior, still in their sins. Lord, don't let them die in their sins. What a terrible tragedy that would be. We pray that they might trust your Son while there's still time, while there's still breath in their lungs. Lord, make them realize their guilt. Make them realize their lost condition and that they need your Son more than anything else in life. So save souls, we pray, for we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.